Well, hello again there, folks, and welcome back to another episode of Hate Reading the Guardian, which I haven't done for years and years. And I've decided back, but it's back by popular demand after a lot of people said, "Whatever happened to Hate Reading the Guardian?" And I've decided to bring it back. I don't know how often that I'm going to do it, but I am going to start and do it again. But I mean, that said, I'm a little bit older. I'm a little bit more. I've lost a little bit of the piss and vinegar that I used to have. But I think the time is ripe. We're on the move, and I've decided at this turning of the tide, I'm going to start and do Hate Reading the Guardian again as a little way to push back, in a kind of jokey and a bit of a popular format. And the reason why I did this is I came across this absolutely rancid article by the old fave, the old sort of witch of the Guardian, Zoe Williams. She's still there after all these years. She's still there. I'm sure that's not an accurate photo anymore, if it ever was. And of course, we've got all this controversy. So Zoe's decided to chip in with the worst takes in the world. And I just think this content is, it's just so bad. It's just pure manure. And I just felt like sort of digging into it a little bit, and kind of having a look at it, because there's a temptation to remain in your echo chamber. This is the mainstream media, so I don't want my critics and the government to say that I'm in some kind of echo chamber. Like, okay, here I am coming out of my echo chamber and looking at peak mainstream establishment news. So, all right, let's just get on with it. Let's just buckle up. Let's just buckle up for this absolute shite. Far-right anger over asylum hotels is destroying the very idea of refuge, and that's probably the goal. The court ruling on the Bell Hotel does not legitimize anti-immigrant sentiment. Does not just legitimize, it also risks erasing a whole category of people. Now, when we zoom out a little bit here, of course, there is a whole category of people being erased in all of this, and it's not just a bunch of bullshitters who swindle their way into our country under false pretenses and then get protected by twats like Zoe Williams. Let's jump into the article itself. Look at the sort of the rowdy English with their flags and everything. When the High Court ruled this week that the Bell Hotel in Epping could no longer be used to house asylum seekers, the triumph of anti-migrant zealots looked a little unwarranted, or at least premature. Nigel Farage hoped loudly that the ruling would provide inspiration to others across the country. I hope that as well, even though I don't like Nigel Farage particularly. Tabloids and the GB News called it an all-out, at all caps, victory, while Epping locals popped champagne on the hotel's doorstep. Rightly so, and I'll tell you why, Zoe. Because we're just sick of the bullshit. No matter how hard we vote, no matter how hard we've made our voices heard, no matter what the polls say, we'd never wanted this. You know, it's that thing, we were never asked. We didn't want this, we don't want this. And it's just been rammed down our throats for years and years, and it only ever gets worse. If the benefits were ever going to be visible, they'd be visible by now, but they're not. And as you're going to explain in this article, they're pretty bad, actually, even though you're too stupid to understand what you've said. Meanwhile, the ruling itself felt impermanent and technical more than principled. The judge ruled that Somani, the company that owns the Bell, had not notified the council of its intended use. It was hardly an endorsement of the general proposition, memorably spelled out by Robert Jenrick recently, that men from backward countries who broke into Britain illegally pose an active threat to his daughters. But again, they do, though, don't they? And we've got it. We've got the data. We've seen the headlines. We know, for example, that the government even covered it up, or the police force, the local police force covered up such an incident because they didn't want to inflame community cohesion or tensions or whatever. What other jargon they justify the lies. So all of this is known. Why are you putting that in scare quotes? And while the victory calls were resounding, there was no answering message of defeat from those who support asylum seekers, like you. You didn't know what to say. And now this is your attempt. This is your attempt at a counter strike. Nobody thinks hotels are a sound and humane way to accommodate refugees. I do think that, actually. Since when was a hotel, like, what is a hotel like a concentration camp now? Is a hotel a salt mine? People go on holiday to hotels. Hotels are associated with luxury and comfort. I mean, liminal, often squalid, eye-wateringly expensive for the Home Office, they hardly scream welcome. They do, actually. That's literally what hotels do scream. They're not gulags. They're not concentration camps. Yet the ruling has been seismic, and the victory cries of the right are logical. Within 24 hours, the Home Office's plans on migration have been put into disarray. It is obliged to house asylum seekers while their claims are being heard. And at the end of March, there were 30,000 people living in about 200 hotels. Just stop for a second and consider that. That we, who never wanted these people in the first place, are being forced to house 30,000 people across 200 hotels in this country. Nobody, if you go back 10 years, you go back 20 years or whatever, even now, this is not normal. It's not normal that you're expected to house 30,000, mainly young men, in the lap of luxury and pay for it. And like, how can you think that that's just this normal thing? Oh, this is just the way we roll. It isn't. It's ridiculous. It's insane. It goes against all intuition, all reason, and all logic. It's an ahistorical abomination that this is happening. The plan had been to phase out hotels by 2029, so still 4 years. A date that made no sense unless its real aim was to kick the whole issue into the next term. This is what they're saying now, right? They're trying to flip this back on us. It's what Sophie's going to do. I saw that Lewis Goodall does it as well. Now the bell has to be emptied by 12th of September, as other locals follow Epping's lead. Local councils, the government will be left scrambling to disperse people into local authority use housing at very short notice, with a duty to keep track of them, but no obvious way of doing so. So you see, what the line coming out from the mainstream is beginning to be, it's like, you idiot gammon, you've made the problem worse now. Because the option that these people are just immediately deported, or that we have actual, you deploy the navy and you do what it takes to protect your borders. I'll probably come on to this sort of the nonsense regulation later. But that's off the table. So your choices on how to deal with the problem are extremely limited. And so when you, through protesting and through what happened with Epping, it was a sort of technicality. When that kind of disables one thing, you've made the problem worse, and it's your fault because you're too stupid. And like Lewis Goodall was saying, like, you come up with the answers to this. Well, we did, and it was that you don't let them in the first place, and you do what it takes to prevent foreign men invading your country. What since when was since when again, if you just look at all of history, all of world history, everywhere on earth, it is not normal that you don't have a border. It is not normal that whoever they want come in and you house them in a hotel or you respect their rights. It's nonsense. It's an ahistoric nonsense. It's nothing normal. And but what they're going to do is say, well, actually, this is normal. And there's only a select few responses that we can do to kind of deal with this problem. And you've just knocked one out of the equation, and now things are going to get worse. And it's your fault. You're making it worse. You stupid gammon with your flags who are worried about your daughters. More than this, the ruling has solidified a sense of legitimate citizen anger against refugees. There is anger. But let's not forget here, because they do this a lot. The anger is directed at people like you, Zoe, at The Guardian, at LBC, at James O'Brien, at the Labour Party, at the establishment, first and foremost. Okay? So don't put up the straw man argument that, well, you just hate these poor sort of people who are fleeing war and poverty, and you just hate these victims. No, we hate you for doing this. We hate you for being lying shits. And this and peddling dishonest information like what you're doing right now. Since the Southport riots, there has been a similar ratchet. Hard right provocateurs generate real life protests, often from great distances, because when you're organising on Telegram, anyone can count as a local resident. Demonstrations and rioters themselves are often explicitly Islamophobic. When they don't muster at an asylum hotel, they gather at a mosque. So they're just this mindless hate mob. Okay, that's the framing here. And are used as proof that this is the natural stance of the average Briton. It is. It is the natural stance of the average Briton. Commentators pass these explosions as a mixture of hard right agitating and authentic local feeling, unknowable what the ratio is. The agree sagely, and the anger, being dramatic and observable, grows in stature. It's this pulsating beast of rage and racism and anger. That's what it's got. It's got nothing to do with being ignored for 30 years on this issue, and having the most horrific atrocities and general misery being forced on you. No. It's just a pulsating rage ball of racism. It's now impossible to have a debate about immigration without acknowledging this huge wellspring of fury, and it is simply not the done thing to ask whether the rage is justified. You mean you're losing the argument? Anger, being authentic, never has to explain itself. But the problem is, the reason for the anger has been explained. It's just he didn't listen. The Guardian doesn't listen. The government didn't listen. The Tories listened and then just ignored us and did the exact opposite anyway. So, what is it that you expect people to do? You know, what you, the political route, they can't vote this away. They complain to the government and they're ignored or tricked by the Tories. If they speak too much loudly about it on social media, they go to jail, they get locked up, they get banned. So what is it? Where do you think, what do you think this is going to happen? How do you, when people are out on the streets saying they're raping our daughters, and then it pops up that, well, actually that did happen allegedly, and it was covered up by the local authorities. How are people, and they can't do anything about it. How are they supposed to react? What is the model of a human that you're using here? This court ruling is both illustrative of and instrumental in the solidity of fury as a political instrument. The judge, how again, the fury is justified. The judge granted the injunction after hearing the local council's complaints that planning law had been breached in changing the site's use. But underlying this, the council also cited disruption caused by recent protests. The whole, this, I mean, this here is why I decided to do this. This passage that we're coming to here is why I felt like I had to blow the dust off the hate reading The Guardian part of my content portfolio after many years. This next few sentences will blow your mind. The hotel has been at the centre of controversy since an asylum seeker was accused of sexually assaulting a 14-year-old girl, and concerns were raised about potential future threats. But the concerns can be self-fulfilling. If your accommodation is regularly surrounded by a small, hostile mob that sometimes wants to set fire to it, it's probably quite difficult to slot into a normal law-abiding life or even know what a law-abiding life looks like. In this country you escaped to, having heard it was civilized. So it's your fault. If you're, let's not forget that the reason they were protesting in the first place is because of the assault, the sexual assault of the 14-year-old girl. But, so she's deliberately got it the wrong way around. Okay, the reason, the outcome of people screaming and shouting and protesting outside of the hotel was first and foremost that the girl was assaulted. That came first. The reaction came later. But now we're going to switch that around. And so what? Now, if there's protests outside of an asylum seeker hotel, what, he's going to look outside the window and say, oh no, look at all these racists are traumatized me. I've got to go out and rape one of their fucking daughters. Is that how can we have a media like this? How is this the mainstream media? It's not normal. This is sick. Absolutely demented. Completely absent in this debate, which apparently we are all too frightened to have, yet we have constantly, is any sense of a better idea. So here it is. It's your problem. It's we don't know what to do. If the problem with refugees is that they arrive illegally, well, okay, so they should not arrive illegally. Would it help to have more legal routes? No. No. The issue is that we've got too many foreigners. Okay, I'll spell it out for you. The issue is that we've got too many foreigners. And the asylum seekers are just where this is most apparent because the optics of a daily invasion kind of become a signpost of all of the alienation of all of the foreigners that everybody sees on the streets, regardless of the documentation. So what you see is that it manifests itself in the asylum seeker hotels and the boats arriving because it's just so absurd and unnatural to live like that. But that goes for the general feeling of alienation and a sense that the native population is under siege, which they are. These are the underlying things which have brought us to this point. And what you're going to see here is that, well, it's your fault. And you're going to throw your hands up in the air and say, well, if the hotels are the issue, could we not work towards dispersal in the first instance and much faster processing of claims? No, we don't want them. No. Is there no world in which we could engage imaginatively with the violence and upheaval that people are fleeing? I don't care. It's not my problem. It is not. I reject from the offset this universalist kind of global humanitarian principle. I don't believe in it. But the problem is, I'm well aware that there's been a colossal sort of sprawling network of bullshit laws to back it up. But that doesn't mean that the original principle itself is sound. It just means that you've got a bad idea with a giant construction of technocratic horseshit sitting on top of it. And pull together to support them until they're legally able to support themselves. No, I don't care if they can support themselves. We just don't want them here. That's the issue. This is what people are angry about. And they're also angry about the kind of sophistry and bullshit in the mainstream media that I'm reading right now. That seems to be the reasonable expectation with Ukrainian refugees. If we can't extend the same empathy to those from Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iran, and Bangladesh, can anyone at least explain why? Yes, they're more foreign. They're more foreign than other Europeans. That's why. Would a refresher in the political context of those countries help? No, I don't really care one way or another what the context of the politics is in Bangladesh. It's none of my business, and it shouldn't be any of my concern. Neither should the people. If the problem is the numbers, can anyone explain how many asylum seekers they would like instead? None, or let's say minus 30,000 a year. We currently rank fifth when compared to European nations in the absolute number of asylum seeker claims received, and 17th when numbers are adjusted for population. Should we be 20th? We should be last. We should be last. Does anyone want to resile from the 1951 UN Refugee Convention? Yes, I do. Immediately and without hesitation. That would seem to be implicit in Reform's UK's promise to leave the European Convention on Human Rights. But would any party or organisation that doesn't want that care to explain how it is executing its duty towards refugees and plans to? We don't. The idea is that we just don't. I don't know if this is Reform's platform, but I just don't accept the idea of refugees. I said before, this came in 1951, after World War II. We're in a different world. I mean, I wouldn't have agreed with it then either, but I just don't believe that we've done it and it's been a disaster, and now we're going to turn the corner. We don't want it anymore. The principles upon which it's based of a kind of universal humanity are flawed. That's not how people are. People have empathy towards their own. People like themselves first and foremost, which is why people don't mind the Ukrainians as much as what they do the other people that were listed. This is also why there's a danger in allowing hundreds of thousands of young men to come in, precisely because they don't actually have very much empathy for you. It's not so much about how we think of them, but how they think of us. But there's a sort of de facto and default position embedded within all of the thinking, all of the laws, all of the mainstream media here, all of this kind of Blairite behemoth of shite that it is, doesn't account for that whatsoever. It's just an assumption that they're all liberals and that they're not coming here because they want to have access to the girls, for example. Why is that off the table of discussion? Why is it off the table of discussion that, for example, the Moroccans in Holland will refer to the local girls as free-range chicken meat? Why is it that we cannot have that discussion? Why is it that we cannot sort of think, well, regardless of their religion and whatnot, maybe they just aren't that nice. Maybe the default position of humanity just isn't very pretty. And what you do is protect your own tribe against the hostility of others. Because what's happening when you don't have that mentality, you get destroyed, you get humiliated, you get taken to the cleaners, you're a sap. You're the antelope on the plain with the hyenas tearing you apart. And that's how we look now. And these people want that to continue. And then in the final section here, there was another element of the campaign that led to this ruling, which is subtle but important. The erasure of the category of refugee and asylum seeker. When you make the focus of your argument a hotel and its planning status on the surface, this is a battle over place. But if you take away the refuge someone is seeking, are they a refugee? If you take away the protection granted to them by the state, there is no asylum to claim. How then do we define these people? I would define them as invaders. Without a political definition, well, you can use that, invader. Do they exist? Yes, they exist as invaders, even though the issue is very different. It's not tactically dissimilar to the legal campaign waged against trans people, resulting in April's ruling that everyone has to use the toilets and other facilities of their biological sex. It doesn't say you have no right to live as trans, it's just unfortunately impractical for you to do so unless you stay at home. Do you still exist? Do you still have rights? Again, I find rights ridiculous, but the problem with anger and politics is that combustion is the only way to expend the built-up energy. It's much easier to keep things humane and civilized in the first place. But it's all right. It's a sort of final flourish of shite. But this bit that she said here. What she's kind of sort of scratching for is something like, and I've got it here, the from Giorgio Agamben, the on bare life, where the status of the refugees, let's just use her framing for a second, which I'll just reject entirely. The status of the refugee becomes one where he is neither one thing or another. And again, that's not my concern. Like, I don't care, but I do care about the British people, the real British people. And what she's getting for here is that they're existing, they're neither sort of recognized by the sovereign or as an outsider. Their categorization is indefinite. And in Bare Life, Agamben, he kind of fleshed this out properly and intelligently. So what she's saying is, if you can imagine, as he would put it, you have a citadel, and then the people within the citadel are protected by the king or the baron or whoever, and then you've also got the wilds, the Hobbesian state of nature within the woodlands and in the forests, just pure wildness. But what you also have is a little bit in between, where people, for criminals or whatever, have been kicked out and they wander the walls. So they are not protected by the sovereign within the citadel, but neither are they in the wilderness entirely in the state of nature. They are in this sort of state of bare life, this permanent limbo. Now, to get back to the 14-year-old girl that was mentioned earlier, I would argue that the ideas of this way of thinking of people like Zoe, the Guardian, the Labour Party, the managerial system, what it reduces all of us to as a native people is that, because we no longer have the protection of the sovereign, because the sovereign is more interested in bringing in refugees, in immigrants, and you see it by the very fact that they are so hostile to these protests. But neither are we completely free off-grid in a state of nature with not bound by any laws at all. So it is we who exist in this limbo. It is we who ex it is that 14-year-old girl who is neither in one place or another. She is not protected by the sovereign. She doesn't have recourse to say, well, I have a government and they protect me, because the government doesn't, because they put the needs of foreign men above hers. But neither is she gallivanting around in the wilderness in a state of nature either. So, you can use this idea that she's too stupid to fully understand and flip that straight on its head and say, actually, no, it's the natives who wander around in this half in, half out limbo, where they neither have a government that cares about them, but neither are they free of that government. But of course, she's too thick to understand any of that. So that's my first reading, hate reading. I needed to get that off my chest. This was just too much. I felt reinvigorated again for the first time in years. Right. I'll do more of these, folks. So thanks for listening, and take care out there.